Blog Talk Radio.
Sucks.
This is an unlawful gathering.
The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is Numania.
Ranger fans, rip, what's the critical thinking hanger?
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Tuesday, June 26th, our last show in the month of June, our last show before free agency. Eddie, your grace, good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm telling you, just the sight of some hockey action going with the draft last weekend and the developmental camp started yesterday and it's going to be going through all this week. There's hockey around, some hockey talk, and like you mentioned, free agency. So I'm fine, man. Kind of basketball atrocity is over.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah. So I'm all hockey. I can't wait for September, October. That's what I'm waiting for.
DB, you know what? Don't knock it if you don't watch it. We don't make fun of you for watching The Voice, do we?
Or Will and Grace,
or that Housewives of Atlanta, or whatever the hell it is. Or what's that other thing? What's that other show he told us he was into? That Teen Mom on MTV?
Pregnant in Heels?
Pregnant. Toddlers and Tiaras? He likes that one, too. Life is good. Jess Rubenstein from the Prospect Park will join us in just about a half an hour. Jess has been here many, many, many times before. And he will join us to give us the skinny on all the guys the Rangers drafted and tell us to get us excited for that. What do they call this thing that started today? What do they call that thing? Prospect Camp. That's it. The official title.
Yeah, the
Prospect Camp
prospect
started today.
Developmental Camp, whatever they call it.
Scrimmages. Christian Thomas showing up all buff and worked out, pumped up. He's working with Gary Roberts' trainer, and Gary, he's got a whole diet regimen for him and everything, and Dylan McElrath was bigger, and Boo Neves was there. Hey, Boo.
I think Boo was, his last name is pronounced Knee-Eves. Boo Knee-Eves.
It's not Neves?
No.
Or it's just so, Nev?
Didn't the Mets have a pitcher by that guy, last name?
Probably.
Boo Knee-Eves. Cristobal Boo Knee-Eves.
Boo Diddley.
We're going to have a lot of fun with that name if he ever makes the team.
Yeah.
Let's face it, we'll have fun with it even if he doesn't make the team.
Who the hell is Barclay Goodrow?
He was drafted
by
the... I have no idea.
He was on the scrimmage squad at camp today. Samuel Dr. Nero was there.
Did you say there was a guy, Andy Bathgate?
Yeah, Andy Bathgate. He was a Penguins draft pick a couple of years ago, wasn't he?
Oh.
I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Me and you and a dog named
You and me and a dog named Moon. What is it? You know how to pronounce the name, and I don't.
Well, I did research. It's Boo-Knee-Eves.
Knee-Eves. Knee-Eves.
Yeah, it's two syllables. I thought it was Knee-Eves, like Jeeves, but apparently it's Knee-Eves.
Can we just call him Boo?
Boo-Boo.
Hey, Boo-Boo. Yeah. And, you know, everybody was talking last week. Should we strap it? Uh-oh. You're eating Fritos again on the other end there.
I am?
There you are. Okay, you're better now. Everybody was talking last week. Should we get Mateau's kid? Do we get Buka Boob's kid? Do we get, who's the other one? Samuelson's kid? No. I give you Peter Anderson's kid. Callie Anderson drafted. He was in the fourth round. So we'll hear all about him and the Boo and everybody else. And I'm sure Jess will have all the skinny. Looking forward to it. Look at this switchboard is jammed. My goodness.
I want to talk. We should just get to the phone calls right after I just go off on my. I thought the Rangers had an okay draft. I mean, where they pick, I mean, you know, I thought they addressed some needs in the organization. They get guys that are going to play with the team. Probably not. Maybe one, you know, who knows? If they turn pro, it's considered a success from what they tell me. I think the thing that's first and foremost, to use a Dave Maloney sentence starter, is Brandon Prust asking for $2.2 million per year.
He's out of his mind.
2 or 3 years.
He's out of his mind.
He took too many freaking shots to the head, I think. I mean, I think we all can say that we really love the guy's heart, but that's it. That's an overreach. That's just a freaking overreach. I mean, come on. You're on a team that really gave you a shot and is on the cusp of doing some great things, and then you overreach like that for a fourth line. I'm sorry. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. I mean, he wants to be paid more than Brian Boyle, right? Did Boyle make 1.75?
Yeah, something around that.
I mean, come on, Brandon. You know. What? It's a little, as Buddy from Holbrook would say, it's a little crazy.
A little crazy.
My gosh, no.
So you want to go right to the phones?
Well, it's up to you. You like I said, you're my guiding light, so to speak.
Well, I got one other thing that I want to talk about because we have a tendency to run out of time on this show. Did you hear about the Rangers severing ties with the Baldwin family today as far as control of the Connecticut Whale?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yes.
MSG bought the forum, but this is the Rangers have cut ties with the Whale.
Yes. Not the Whale, but they have severed ties with Whaler Sports and Entertainment. They will no longer run the Connecticut Whale. The Rangers have ended their business relationship with the Whalers Sports and Entertainment, the company that has run the business and marketing side of the AHL Connecticut Whale for the past two seasons. Sources have told the Current that the team will play in Hartford this season, but the Rangers have told WSE officials they will not be involved in the day-to-day operation of marketing of the franchise. The structure of the front office for the upcoming season is not known, but an announcement could come Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh my gosh, no.
Exactly. So we could be seeing the end of hockey in Hartford again. Who knows? Apparently the Rangers not happy with the fact that Mr. Baldwin is in debt, and they were not happy with the way the team was run last season, and they have decided to sever ties with the Whaler Sports and Entertainment. So... what this means for the future of the quote-unquote Connecticut Whale, I don't know. Where we will see Wade Redden in 2013-14, we do not know. But that's that.
I think we all can live with that.
Yeah, I think we're okay. So, all right, you ready to go to the phones?
Yeah, I want to hear what people have to say.
Well, take a look at the switchboard. Pick a number.
Let's go with 845.
Let's go to the 845 area code. DB Maven, a big fan of The Voice, big fan of Teen Mom, Toddlers and Tiaras. DB, how are you? DB? DB Maven.
Going once. Going twice.
It's gone. Not there. All right, pick another number.
Let's go to the 917756 caller.
All right, 917756. You're on the air with Jim and Eddie. How are you?
How you guys doing? How did you manage to pick my new number?
Wait, Chandler, you finally got rid of the Minnesota number?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I always thought that was every time I saw that number come up, I thought Lou Nanny was calling in or something.
No. How you guys?
What's going on?
Not a lot. Just been hectic moving and everything, so it's been, and I've been going through my withdrawal from the season, so, you know.
We are here to help.
What's on your mind tonight?
I don't know. I actually just called in to listen. I didn't really even get to follow the draft. I know that a lot of people had some issues with the draft. I really didn't. I think they did, like you said, they got depth for the organization, and you never know what draft picks. High draft picks turn into busts, and low draft picks turn into stars. So, I mean, we won't know for at least 2-3 years with some of these guys what we're going to have. So,
that's right.
Know.
Like we talked, I think, 5 years ago or whatever it was, the Rangers drafted Carl Hagelin, and he was the 5th-round pick. Everybody else was a bust except him.
Yeah.
So you never
know. So.
I just wanted to get your quick take on Brandon Prust. I don't know if you've been keeping up with it, but he wants 2.2 per year.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't even know what I read. I said somebody, he tweeted something about management didn't want him. I mean, you know what? You know, the Rangers made this guy's career. And for him to do it the way he did it, I mean, you got a problem with what they're trying to pay, that's fine. But that was a classless move by him all the way around. It was classless all the way around.
I agree with you, and what he tweeted, for those of you that don't know, was, I wish management wanted me as much as the fans do. And I don't know, I'm not a, that's, to me, that's taking your negotiations to the, you know, make it public. That should be a private thing, I think, and, you know, I don't know. That's just
this
my thought.
It's a fourth-line guy who the Rangers made a household name, a major minister in the playoffs. Gave major minutes to during the first half, what, 2 seasons? And that's how you want to go out the door? Really? Oh. So, you know, thanks a lot. See you later. It's just, you know, because that means that the whole time you really didn't give a damn about the sweater you were wearing. You were all interested in just trying to make a buck. You know, and you know, that's the way he comes across now. He comes across as a mercenary now. You know, and it's sad, but you know what? I'm not sorry to see him go now. So, you know, we can get some other people to fill that role. You know,
I'm kind of with you. You know, last week we were kind of like, you know, people got to calm down about, you know, losing Brandon Prust. This isn't like losing Mark Messier. And, you know, I don't want to see him go, but I didn't want to overpay him. But now I'm kind of like leaning towards, the hell with him. We'll move on.
He's a fourth line guy. We can get somebody else to do what he did. There's a lot of guys out there like to hit people. A lot of guys out there like to fight. So, you know, they'll come in and play for that 1.3.
Exactly.
And another point is that 2 years ago he has 13 goals. He has four or five shorthanded goals. His value is high. I could see maybe asking then. I mean, if it would have come up if he had had that season last season, but he didn't.
Right.
He had 5 goals last year. So it takes a little bit of balls, and I think it's kind of trying to use the fans as leverage in the negotiations. Like, first of all, say they don't listen to us anyway. So what if we like clamoring, have a rally for Brandon Prust to keep him on the team? It's not gonna happen.
Listen, we couldn't get saved to fire, so how the hell are we gonna get Brandon Prust a contract? Okay.
Exactly. All right, listen, Chandler, you want to go back on hold? You're listening in, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, you guys just put me on hold. I'm listening on the phone. Thanks a lot, guys.
Will do. Thanks, Chandler.
All right.
All right. We'll put Chandler back on hold. All right, pick another number. You're in charge tonight. Pick a number. Your grace.
Your grace. What's about my neck of the woods? 516-754.
516-754, you're on the air.
What's up, boys? It's Rock. How are you?
Hey, Rock. How are you?
Good. What's going on? I guess in Gordy we trust, because you know what? When you're drafting that low in the draft, it's all a crapshoot at that point. So, at that point of the draft, I don't know if you guys watched all 30 picks. I mean, they barely were even showing any of the draft picks towards the end. I mean, in the beginning, the first 10 picks are really all they care about. And then towards the end, it was like, they were like, oh, they picked this guy, and they were talking about something else. So,
I was stuck in a hotel room Friday night because the power went out in our house. And we were stuck in a hotel room, and I get in there, and I'm like, oh, man, this sucks. I'm not going to get to see the draft because they don't have NHL Network. So I log on to the NHL website, and it says, the first round of the draft is now live on CNBC. So I go running over to the little piece of paper they give you in hotel rooms with the list of channels, and sure enough, they get CNBC. I put the draft on. I'm like, oh, this is great, right? We got air conditioning. I'm sitting on the bed. I'm watching the draft. As soon as the Penguins picked, they took the draft off CNBC. As soon as the Penguins were done picking, they took the draft off. I said, well, that's it for that.
Yeah, they did something strange. They went through like the first 10 picks, and all of a sudden James Duffy gets on and says, due to some, I forgot the exact terminology he used, we're going to switch over to the NHL Network. And then they were showing Olympic preliminaries for sprinting or something like that.
Olympic trials.
Something like that, which would have pissed someone off. I mean, if you're taping that, if you're like working and you want to tape the draft, that's kind of messed up that they did that. But anyway, it is what it is. Hockey's not a priority, I guess, to them. But in all, what do you expect out of the draft? I mean, let's be honest. Gordy Clark has done nothing but find hidden gems in the draft. He's found guys when, you know, we've had low picks. So, you know, in Gordy we trust, and you know, I put all my trust in him and hope that that he found us a gem with this kid Shea. Supposedly he's a great skater, and that seems the way the Rangers are going, with guys that can skate and can move the puck and that are pretty good athletes. So, you know, I guess in all honesty, we'll have to see where this goes with him. Just a little bit on Brandon Truss. I don't want to spend a lot of time on him. I don't think he warrants that much time. He's a third line guy, you know. The Rangers' problems are not on their bottom two lines, in my opinion. I mean, they can find guys in their system that can replace him and take that role away. Maybe Hagelin moves down a peg. They're all guys that they can replace him with. So, like I said, I think my biggest priority in this offseason is they need to get a top winger. I really, you know, if it's not Nash, I mean, Shane Doan's just come out and said that he's testing the free agent market. I know he's an older guy, but, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be the guy that the Rangers are going to target, but he's that Brendan Shanahan-esque player that gives you a little bit of veteran leadership, gives these young guys maybe a kick in the ass, and he's that premier power forward. Now, he's getting up there in age, but maybe you can get him for 2 years, $4 million, somewhere in that vicinity. You know, and he still has a little juice left in the tank. So, you know, he may be a viable option if they strike out with everybody else. Because from what it all accounts, there are not going to be many free agents left. They're talking that Parisi's trying to get a deal done with the Devils before July 1. That was reported on the NHL Network this afternoon. And, you know, I'm not sure how many guys are left.
No, it doesn't seem like there are going to be too many guys that, you know, like you alluded to, that the Rangers would need. I mean, they certainly need to improve the offense. There's not many guys out there that can do it, and how many will be available, you know, and it looks like Parisi's pretty much said he doesn't want to come here. We don't know, but the way Sather answered him.
The way he left the union is another mercenary. I mean, honestly, I mean, we've been down this road where guys didn't want to come here, and I said that last week. And throwing money at a guy, that doesn't mean anything. If his heart's not here to play, then you know what? It's not worth it. I mean, it's not worth just bringing guys in just to overpay for them and for them to be a mercenary because we're giving them the most money possible.
And I,
the other,
And I just wanted to say, I mean, I think you're right there. And Parisi really doesn't feel the need for the Rangers need a guy who can put the puck in the net. I mean, that's what they need. Another guy.
They need size, Eddie. They need some bigger players. I mean, Brian Boyle's the biggest player, and he and they need some size on the wing. They're very small on the wing. I mean, Kreider's a big kid, but can't expect him to do everything like they did in the playoffs. So I think they need size on the wing, and that's why I said, everyone was clamoring, Nash, you know, he's cost too much money. I think all things being equal, if Nash is a free agent, then, I don't think any Ranger fan would want Parisi. I mean, if all things were being equal, and if Nash was on the open market as a free agent, people would be clamoring for him. But because of his contract and because of the ridiculous, outlandish prices that Columbus, and they may be left hanging to dry here. Because if everyone else starts making other moves, there may be no place else to go. And Nash might say, I'm just going to stay here. And then they're going to be stuck with a guy that's not happy.
Well, at least they get the Flyers backup goalie, so they should be better. And the Flyers are known for their goaltending. They got Bobrovsky now. Yeah, I know what you're saying. He keeps those asking prices way too high. And Rangers fans don't want to depart with the youth, and I understand. But the Rangers certainly have to add something.
The one thing I can say is if they're able to get this kid Justin Schultz, the free agent from the University of Wisconsin, the 22-year-old, I think they're trading Delzato. I would be shocked.
Perhaps.
If they bring this kid in and then they keep Delzato. I'm sorry?
Well, the bidding on Mr. Schultz begins tomorrow. Well, listen, Rock, we got a whole bunch of phone calls to take
Sounds
before
good,
Jess
guys.
Gets
Have
here.
Have a great night, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon.
Take
care, Rock.
Later. Bye.
All right. Pick a number.
917-756. You're up here.
That's Chandler.
Okay. Let's go to Costa. Let's see what Costa's got to say.
Costa, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, Costa.
The cast is off?
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
He'll be ready for training camp.
Yeah, you could say that.
You're skating on the fourth line.
guess who's coming to the Garden this November?
Michigan.
And guess who's on Michigan?
Newly drafted the guy for who? Peter Anderson?
No, Boo.
Oh, Boo Neves. Yes, that's right.
Sir.
Boo Nev Campbell.
He's playing his, he started, this is his first year. He just committed to Michigan.
Yep.
So we're talking right here, just by that, we're talking guys like 5 years away.
Yeah.
The Rangers love picking these guys that are raw talents, guys who are just barely out of high school, and they had success with Kreider. I think even Stepan may have been a guy that was early on in his college career. And this seems to be the Rangers' Gordy Clark. You pick everybody from the, collegiate ranks and Swedes, and that's it. We don't want anybody else, even though they did get a Dane in the late round.
And, speaking of that, there seems to be from what I'm reading, there seems to be a school of thought that the way the Rangers have fast-tracked these college guys like Stepan and McDonough and now Kreider and Hagelin, that could be a bargaining chip for them with Justin Schultz. Schultze. because they've been able to fast-track a couple of these college guys right into the NHL. So maybe that'll be a little bargaining chip for him. We'll see.
Let me ask you guys something. What do you guys want to see in a third and fourth liner? Now that we saw what we saw with LA and New Jersey, this playoff run.
Okay. I know Ricky Atazo wasn't going to like this. I don't want bulk.
You don't want slabs of meat with hockey gloves on.
This establish a forecheck. Pin them in our zone, their zone, rather than our zone. That's what I want to see, and get the odd goal and chip it in. And the guy doesn't have to be, like, the Devils did it with guys that are borderline AHL, NHL players. You know, whether it had been Steven Gionta or Ryan Carter, these guys were not, you know, I mean, you know, you can do it that way. You know, you can catch lightning in a bottle for a little bit of a time. I just think the day of the fighter and the heavyweight and the middleweight, it's all, I just think it's gradually being ousted. I mean, I hate to see it go, but you got to have speed.
Mm.
Rangers are becoming a very fast team. They're drafting fast. The whole team's got to reflect that. You know? I can't really think of a good forecheck. I mean, we really weren't that good on the forecheck on our third and fourth line. So we were good blocking shots and, you know, that stuff. But that was happening in our own zone. But, you know, they've got Rupp to sign, what, for 2 more years? And
God, I forgot he was still on the team.
Yeah, I mean,
I do these permutations in my head. I do these permutations in my head of who should play where, you know, line combinations, which you love. And I keep forgetting that Rupp is still on this team and where the hell he's going to play. And I know Ricky said he wasn't healthy, and maybe that's true, but either way, I forgot to permutate him in.
Yeah, well, I like him as a locker room guy. I think he's a great guy, but maybe he can do better. I don't know. But I think the Rangers got to kind of transition into that kind of third and fourth line coach. I think you know it, too. They need to get faster.
Exactly.
All around.
And they will.
Speed.
They will.
They
greasy, fast speed. Speed is what we need. A greasy, fast Italian tank is what they need. All right, Costa.
All right, man. I'll talk
Take
to you.
Care. Talk
Take
to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right. We're breezing through the phone calls. Jess should be here very shortly. Who do you want next, my your grace?
Not your grace. Stop. Area code 914. I think that's like upstate New York.
914. You are on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who is this?
Frankie C. in Florida.
Frankie, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine.
Good to hear from you.
A Ranger invitee to the training camp, the prospects camp, Miles Bell. Anybody know him?
No.
No, I'm not familiar with Miles Bell.
Okay. Why don't you guys do a Google search on Miles Bell? He's a right defenseman, 6'2", 200 pounds.
Got Facebook.
He has a 98-mile-an-hour slap shot, scored 15 goals last season.
He was with the Regina Cats?
No, that was the year before.
Oh, all right.
He was a top 25 prospect, one of the best fighters in the WHL.
All right,
What?
I see him on hockeyfights.com here. He's got a couple of videos, I guess, fighting a few different people here.
He beats everybody.
Does he?
But he has a problem. There was a reason why he wasn't drafted in the top 25 last year or this year. Ready?
I'm ready.
He got into an accident, DUI, and a female passenger in the car with him.
Uh-oh.
Was a personal friend of the daughter of the owner of the Regina Pats.
No!
He pleaded guilty and was given 2 years probation. Okay?
Whoops.
Now, the Rangers invited him to their camp. I think the only guy tougher than him is probably going to be McElrath. Nobody's got a 98-mile-an-hour slap shot. He's only 18 years old. And there's ample precedent in the NHL for giving people a second chance, especially since it happened when he was 17.
Right.
And you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I said I know who you're talking about, Frankie, but why don't you tell the people who you're talking about?
Danny Heatley.
See?
Danny Heatley in 2003, while he was driving his Ferrari at high speeds, got into an accident, hit a stone wall and a steel fence, and he killed one of his teammates.
Right.
He's guilty to second-degree vehicular homicide, was given probation. So I don't know why this kid, since he's fallen off the radar, you can't teach a 98-mile-an-hour slap shot. And
no.
And all the YouTube fights I saw, he didn't lose any of them. And he was only 16, 17 when he had those fights. So this kid should be given a chance. He's only 18.
Well, you know what, Frankie, Jess Rubenstein's going to be here in just a few minutes. I think he might even be on hold already. He's our guest tonight. He knows all about these prospects, so we will ask him about Miles Bell.
Thank you. Are you going to put me on hold, or do I go back into the apartment?
We've
got a storm out here in Fort Myers.
Do you want to listen in? Well, I'll put you on hold if you want to listen. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Frankie. Good to hear from you. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem.
Frankie's the return, Eddie.
I don't know. He's talking about Miles Bell. I like the way a guy DUI 98 mile slap shot. I like those rogue guys. A felon. Well, I don't think he was a felon. He was put on probation. But
like the felon.
Yeah. And it's true. Go ahead. Ogie Oglethorpe. Yes. Everybody in the chat room, Frankie says they're good. It's good to hear from you again. So.
All right. I think this is Jess.
Okay.
Jess, is that you?
I hope so.
Hey, how are you, sir? Good to hear from
you. How you guys doing? I was listening to that last caller, and there's a couple of catches. We gotta address first with Mr. Bell.
Well, good. Glad you heard that. So we'll start there since one of our listeners, our loyal listeners, brought it up. So why don't you start there?
First of all, he's 18, which means the Rangers can sign him to a contract only if he's going to make the Ranger roster. Otherwise, he goes back into the draft. He's a draft-eligible player. And
okay.
It's not a knock on Miles Bell, who actually pled guilty to dangerous driving causing death, was the actual charge. He played for Kelowna last year, so I got to watch him because Shane McCogan played on Kelowna. And to be honest, there's a reason that he didn't get redrafted, and it's I think people are making a mistake. There have been players who have been convicted of crimes who wound up drafted. The Islanders drafted Casey Cizikas, who was convicted of who pled guilty to manslaughter for an incident. Miles Bell, it turned out that was his girlfriend that was killed in the car accident, and Glenn Sather. This is why Glenn Sather's around, because I'll give you the name of another guy that actually Glenn Sather himself helped out, and that's Craig McTavish.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Ignorant manslaughter, right?
Yep.
Yeah, exact same thing, except in Canada. In Canada, if you're a juvenile, if it was America, he probably would have done jail time. But in Canada, he's considered a juvenile, and technically, we're not even supposed to know that he was convicted. I know, weird. Well,
Canada, they just send you to bed without supper.
Yeah, that's real. Honestly, yeah. I love our neighbors to the north. They're some great people, but please don't tell us our judicial system is messed up when you guys are just as wacky and you let child molesters out for up to 5 years,
I hear you.
Okay. Anyway, what's going on, guys? What do you want to talk about?
Go ahead, Eddie.
Just to finish up on Miles Bell, because we had a question from the chat room. Costa wants to know, can he play in the ECHL, or he's just got to go back into the draft?
No.
Okay.
One of these days, no, actually, I don't think it'll ever happen, honestly. As long as CHL can hold on to these players until they're 20 years old, they're going to. Their big fear is, okay, you say you can take 20-year-olds, great. Now you want to take 19-year-olds, and then you take 18-year-olds, but 18- and 19-year-olds are basically the bread and butter of the Canadian Hockey League. They will never agree to allowing the NHL to allow these kids to play in the minor leagues. You'll see more kids doing what JT Miller did, and or just Jordan, what Jordan Schultz did. They'll find the loophole and they'll get out of it.
Right. Hmm. Okay. So we've closed the books on Miles Bell, so to speak, for tonight.
He's also got a really slow first step. He does have a great shot, but it would be, you know, as much as we like to give somebody a second chance, I think from a politically standing or moral standing, however you want to use it, I think the Rangers would take a pretty big beating in the press department in New York City for allowing somebody on the team with what he has. And I'm not here to pass judgment on him. I've actually seen him, and he's actually a good kid who made a really stupid decision.
It happens. I made stupid decisions. Me and Jim make stupid decisions every time we renew our Block Talk Radio subscription.
Hey, yeah, you know, if we all had the answers when we were 17 and 18.
That's right.
You know, and the first one of us that can stand here and say, hey, I was perfect, lying through their teeth. I mean,
that's right.
Look at me. I'll be the first to admit, I was 45 when I finally found what I call my calling, this, all right? So,
I thought it was running.
We're glad to have you, and I'm glad you found your calling. I need your services. I need to be updated. I need to know what Brady. I need to know what Brady Shea is all about. From what I hear, now you tell me, I think this is kind of an organizational need for the Rangers, because really they're bereft of offensive defensemen, and this is a guy from Minnesota. Joe Micheletti will be happy. What do you think about Brady Shea and where he was picked and how the Rangers did with this?
Well, the Rangers were in a no-win situation. You're picking 28, and this wasn't an exceptionally strong draft. I mean, once you got past 15, everybody was really a second rounder or better. Shea, good pick. I don't think he's as good offensively as the Rangers would like people to believe. He needs work, but at the same time, if I'm going to compare him to anybody currently on the Rangers, I'm going to say Ryan McDonough, freshman year at Wisconsin. And that's a pretty good comparison. I think he's much better on the defensive end than he is on the offensive end.
Really? Because from the research that I did, it said that he was more he needed more defensive work, but you're kind of thinking the other way.
He's going to Minnesota. You don't play defense in Minnesota. You don't play. The Golden Gophers were a Frozen Four team last year. They're traditionally a hockey power, and it's going to be kind of fun over the next couple of years, because he's going to Michigan, and after I think this season, we'll actually get to see Shea take on knees, because the Big Ten Hockey Conference is going to start, and Michigan and Minnesota will be a rivalry to watch.
Oh, so that'll be interesting to watch those two go at it. So were you happy with the pick, or it was pretty much like, you know, the Rangers had the 28th pick, so they weren't going to get anybody?
Yeah.
Was there anybody available that you would have liked them to have tried for?
The funny thing was is that I actually had a defenseman picked out, and it was actually a guy that plays for Modo Sweden, Ludwig Brightstrom, and he's being trained by Ulfie Samuelson. He's got a ton of speed. Marcus Naslin is the general manager there. I mean, they love this kid. And he's a lot like Shea. And I got the least of that he was a defenseman, right? So this was, you know,
right.
The drafts are basically shaped by who wins the cup. And Los Angeles won the cup by playing good defense. So everybody was looking for guys who could play big and defensive. So the best way to describe the Ranger draft all about would be they made safe picks. They didn't go out on the limb to draft anybody. They took guys who have enormous upside, and if they don't make it, well, okay, they didn't make it. But everybody was getting ready for next year. Well, next year is going to be an extremely loaded draft. But for right now, the Rangers made interesting picks. I like Shea. I think Shea is Ryan McDonough as a freshman now, but he's also going to join Team USA, the under-20 team. So that says something about his skill level. And it's going to be okay. I think he's going to grow, and I think offensively, I don't think the Rangers really, as a franchise, go crazy about offensive defensemen as much as people want to believe. Not the way John Tortorella plays.
Now,
right. Go ahead, Jim.
I just want to say that I didn't know. I really didn't know who Brady Shea was before the Rangers picked him. But when I read some information on him, I can remember you, Jess, coming on either you told us on the show or other times we've talked, maybe on Facebook or something, that this guy seems to fit the mold of what you said, what guys that Gordy Clark looks for.
Yeah,
he likes these big North American kids that can skate well. You know, another guy out of the U.S. national team development program, just like JT Miller was, right?
Yeah. And,
okay.
You know, you can't teach size, okay? You can't. You either have it or you don't. And here's a kid, Shea. He's got a gold medal already. He was part of the fourth straight under 18 team to win a gold medal for the U.S. And this kid Shea, you have to like the way the dominoes are going to fall into place for him. He's going to Minnesota, traditional hockey power. He's invited to play for Team USA's under-20 team. Guess who's coaching that team? Phil Housley.
He's a good offensive defenseman and can play forward, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Rangers, you give the Rangers credit. When the Rangers draft, it's not one person making the pick. It's an entire team effort. I mean, I'm gonna spot a kid, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to say, hey, Jim, you got to check this guy out. And Jim's going to go check out the guy, and Jim's going to like him. He's going to go, hey, Eddie, you got to go check this guy out. And you go check it. And then the three of us are going to come together and say, he help us. And that's basically how the Rangers draft now. They don't just one-man team. They're going to put, you know, Sather's eyes on them. They're going to put Messier's eyes on them, Clark's eyes, Morse's eyes. It's a really sound policy, and it's working. You know, it's working.
Okay, let's move on to the second round pick. The 59th pick. Is it Boo Neves or Boo Neves?
You know what? I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I guess that's probably why everybody calls him Boo, because nobody can figure out how to say his last name right.
We're just going to call him Boo. Boo Diddley.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about it previously with size. There's another guy, 6'3", 185. He's a little lean, but
he's getting Carl Hagelin's number at Michigan.
From what I
you want to talk about putting pressure on a kid.
He's also an excellent skater, from what I hear, too.
Michigan, Red Berenson. He's going to let's see what's going to happen with him. He actually started out as a C level skater in the draft, and he moved his way up. He's a strong offensive weapon. He's toothpick thin. He's going to really need to add, 15, 20 pounds of upper body strength. And he'll need to work on his lateral footwork. But you're going to tell me that you're going to give me a kid that's going to play for Michigan? I'll take him. I think Michigan's a great program, and the Rangers can say Carl Hagelin all day long, and that's why this is a good pick. He's going to get taught well.
Now, Jess, let me ask you, the thing I've heard a couple of times about Boo Boo is that he may be out of all the Ranger draft picks, he may be the one that's closest to NHL ready. Would you agree with that?
No.
No?
Okay. I don't think any of these guys are close to, you know, I'd say if the Rangers even for a second think about kind of talk these kids out of going to college, it would be a big mistake. I think each of these guys needs the college to allow their bodies to mature. Callie Anderson, the guy that was picked in the fourth, he's got an NHL body. You know, there's a difference between having an NHL body and an NHL head. And that's where the first two kids are lacking. They don't have the maturity level. And I'll tell you what, you saw Michael Belzato's fall apart in the second season, okay? That's part of why you let these kids grow. Belzato's head wasn't there second season, and he winds up in the minor leagues.
Okay. Am I still popping,
sense?
Jim?
Yeah, you for a while all you were doing is popping and cracking, and then when you just talked, I could hear you. But it's.
I think it's when I'm doing other things. I wanted just to say with Boo, I would agree with Jesse. I mean, just from what I know, the guy just came out of high school, so how could he be NHL ready? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
no, I didn't say. I just said that there was some thought that he was closest.
Oh, okay.
No.
It doesn't mean he's ready to be in the lineup come October. It just said that he might be the guy that was closest to being NHL ready.
No, not if you're coming from Connecticut. Not if you're not a Connecticut high school program. But I'll tell you what, there is a kid that is at the camp that if I'm the Rangers, I don't know why I haven't stuck a contract. I can't pronounce his last name. It's Troy Grosnick, something like that. But he's the goaltender for Union College. He was the second leading goalie in all of the NC2A last year. He had a 75% win rate, and he brought Union to their highest ever NC2A finish, which was a Frozen Four finish semifinal loss. And, man, if he's in the camp, give him a contract. Don't even think about it. Give him, you know, buy him an apartment. Get this kid going. He's a really talented goaltender, and I for one would jump. He's older. He's 24, but I would jump all over getting somebody like him.
Hmm. Well,
I think we're losing Eddie. You know.
Yeah, Eddie's cutting out bad. He was having some audio issues before the show, and then they were okay, but now they're bad again. So we play this for him.
Eddie, did we lose Eddie?
Eddie, are you there?
Come on.
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. Okay.
Do I sound better?
Yeah.
Yes.
I will call in again. I just wanted to finish up on the boo-boo knees. So it sounds like it's another. Now, it's not certainly not as high as an upside as a Chris Kreider, but it sounds like they've gone after a guy that's got the frame of a Chris Kreider. Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to a big time school. He's at a high school, and he's also another guy that's into the academics, which seems to be another Ranger thing, where they're going after guys that are heady off the ice and on this. They want well-rounded guys. You think that's the case? Because, I mean, obviously it's been a trend.
But no, actually, you're right. You're right on the money on this one. The Rangers are going for guys who are intelligent, who are big, who can skate, and I'll tell you what. You can't discount this. They also know how to win. And that's a key thing with the Rangers. I mean, Shea shows up. He's already got a gold medal. I mean, look, if you look at Kreider, two NC2A championships in 3 years, and then you see what he did when he walks in. He walked into the Rangers in the playoffs. Five playoff goals before he's even set foot in a regular season game. That's your framework. That's the prototype New York Ranger. Somebody who's intelligent, somebody who can think on his feet, and somebody that's not going to embarrass you in the community.
Right. Because they've got enough of that at MSG with the other professional team. Eddie, are you back? Eddie?
We lost Eddie.
Did we lose Eddie?
Eddie was a great guy, you know. I remember the days when I stuck him with a check. You know, he never complained.
All right, so let's get back to Callie Anderson. We were joking about it before you came on. Everybody was talking about last week, are they going to get Mateau's kid? Are they going to get Bookaboom's kid? Are they going to get Samuelson's kid? Not quite. We got Peter Anderson's kid.
Well, you know, Mateau's kid would have been a mistake, honestly. Nothing against, you know, people forget. Stefan Mateau was a great third-line player. And his son has, you know, the people were looking at the name, and they weren't looking at what the kid did. To
right.
me, I don't like a kid who finds himself suspended on several times during the year for discipline. That's not cool. The second thing I didn't like was the fact that he backed out of going to North Dakota like JT Miller. Only the difference is he went to go play for his father. And if you ask most hockey kids, they try to get as far away from their parents as they can to establish their own name.
Right.
And Mateau didn't do that, and I'm very happy the Rangers didn't draft Mateau. But Callie Anderson, I got to admit, this one kind of head-scratcher, fourth-round pick. It's going to be interesting. The first time John Tortorella is coaching this kid, and this kid pulls Tommy Pocheck out. Because he is a defensive liability. Great offensive moves, great. He can skate, stop on a dime. He can, you know, you could call him next Peggy Fleming, Nancy Kerrigan in figure skating. Reaction times on offense, just unbelievable. But he's never met a body check that he liked. And if he doesn't stop you with a poke check, uh-oh. That's probably that's what I would call him. Uh-oh. You're going to get Michael Delzato's going to be out there going, "Damn, man, don't you know how to play defense?"
he'd have Ranger fans wishing for the days of Jeff Wojtka.
Oh yeah. Tom Pody. There's going to be like people going, "Wow, man."
Wow. Tom Pody, Ranger fans couldn't chase him out of town fast enough. The guy's going into what, his 12th season in the league now?
Hey, give him credit. He's found us a way to survive. You got to give him credit for doing that. It's kind of funny. The Rangers traded away their third round pick, and it really broke my heart because I've been saying, if you've been reading my stuff, I've been begging the Rangers to draft. Kid by the name of Brendan Leipzig, who plays for Portland. He's like the clone of Ryan Callahan. I mean, you couldn't find anybody who was as close to being a Ryan Callahan clone as this kid was. And then the Rangers trading up third round pick, and Nashville takes Leipzig with that pick. I mean, it broke my heart.
Eddie, are you there?
Eddie, come home.
Eddie.
I'm sending my dog out to look for
Eddie?
Him.
Did we lose Eddie?
Eddie, call back in. Because I don't know if you're on the switchboard. Hold on. I'm going to refresh the switchboard here real quick. Bear with us, Jess.
No problem.
the summertime, this is when we work all the kinks out so that in the fall and winter, you know, it's a well-oiled machine, this broadcast on this network. And see, even your dog agrees with me. All right, so I guess the last pick was Thomas Spelling.
Thomas Spelling, the heartthrob of all Danish hockey players. And I actually finally made contact with somebody in Denmark long enough for them to tell me he's going to Sweden. So what I have found out about the young man was that he was a hell of a player, or I should say he is, at the Elite League in Denmark. I don't know how much, you know, you want to put into that, but he is going to play in the Elite League in Sweden. Had 31 goals last year. He's got good offensive skills. He's still growing into his body. He's only 19, and you know, it'll be interesting. I don't know where Denmark is standing in terms of the under 20 squad, but he's expected to be a really key part of it. He's again one of those nice, let's take a shot at him type players.
Right.
So,
Eddie, are you back?
Yes.
All right, Kelly, you can sit down now.
Now, are we talking about Thomas Spelling, the Dane?
Aaron Spelling, yes, sir.
Great Dane.
The Great Dane. Now, what? I didn't hear what your conversation was, but did you mention that this is his second time eligible for the draft?
No, he actually was a pretty good player in Denmark. And at 19, yes, this would have been his second year of draft. He was the leading goal scorer for you'll love this name, the Henning Blue Fox of the AL / Bank League in Denmark.
Wow, well, he put out a jersey.
Yeah, well, I'll give him some credit because in Denmark, the Blue Fox are like the Montreal Canadiens up there. I mean, they've won more championships than any other team. But now he's going to play for a team called Rogel Angelholm. And he's actually going to be playing on the same team as Anaheim's first-round pick. And this is their first year at the elite level. So he should get a lot of playing time. I wish I could tell you I've seen this guy play, but the only thing I've seen of him is a video clip of him blasting a puck against a goalie who looked more afraid than he was ready to play goal.
And the Rangers got this pick by what? Swapping picks with the Preds next year, fifth rounders?
Yeah. It's a head scratcher, but in Gordy I trust. And
yeah, that seems to be the mantra most Rangers fans have, and they should. Let's face it. You know,
it's working. We're going to switch gears a little bit here. I want to caution people. This year might not have as many of the kids come up from whatever they're going to call them, the whale or the baby Rangers again. The Rangers have actually, they've kind of exceeded where they stand from a draft standpoint. I mean, you've got Kreider, who would be a senior next year. This would actually be Stefan's senior year in college. So several of their players have come early. So there's kind of a little bit of a gap coming for the Rangers, and it's not a bad gap. If you give kids like McElrath and Miller and Thomas Bork a year, leave them alone for a year. Let them play their hearts out in Connecticut. It'll be good for them. And I also look at it as this is one of those just in case there is a lockout situations.
Yeah, my feeling with this draft is that there's a lot of projects. When you draft, it's always let's face it, it's always a long shot. I mean, you're taking a shot in the dark. But where they drafted they, you know, I see, I mean, the trend that I see, and I'm sure you're aware of, is just they took the best available player. They don't care about how young he is or how old, if he's older or whatever. They took projects that they saw something in that if all the cards fall into place, they could be pros at the, either the AHL or the NHL level. I mean, that's the way it looked like to me.
It was really a goofy draft. I mean, you know, look at the Islanders; they picked nothing but defensemen. There were teams that they really didn't know which way to go, and I think a lot of teams reacted to the fact of how Los Angeles, how the Rangers, how St. Louis played, and they went big. It didn't matter if you were good. As long as you were big, you were 6'3" or above, you got drafted early. And there are going to be some teams that are going to surprise people down the road because they're going to get fifth and sixth round skilled players that should have been drafted sooner, but they lucked out. They were there in the sixth round when they shouldn't have been. And I think it's also kind of a scary trend too, because if you remember how everybody got up in arms about the trap. We're facing that as a sport again, because now all the emphasis on defense, well, that's kind of like what happened when the trap was. Everybody react to, you know, the defense. And, you know, and I think John Tortorella I don't like John Tortorella. I'll be the first to admit it, but I'm going to give him credit. He put in a system. He got the players to buy into it. It worked. But it doesn't mean that it's bad for hockey. It's basically he did what he did to win, and that's what you ask a coach. And so the Rangers shouldn't be blamed for all the shot blocking. You can't blame the Rangers for playing defense. What were the Rangers supposed to do? Give up? You know, it's like, oh, hey, we're good defensively. We'll give you two goals to start the game. You know?
Right.
And all right, another thing. Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Well, here's another thing. You know, you got all the Ranger fans who think that this team is inept offensively. No, they're not. They're, you know, Dubinsky had a terrible year. Yes, I think he and Doobie, you know, he's as close to a son to me in terms of a player. But he's also I can tell you that right now he is busting his tail up north, wanting to make up for last year. But he wasn't alone. I mean, Boyle, his goal scoring cut in half. Anisimov didn't show as much offense as he did before. I mean, there's offense on the Rangers right there. You know, Hagelin faded in the past, and next year you're going to have Kreider for a full year. Sure, you lose Gabbert for half a season, but there's no need to panic and sell the world to go out and get somebody like a Rick Nash or Bobby Ryan. Because why do you make those moves and dismantle a team that had 109 points? Really?
Yes. But, and you know, just to counter that, I really feel like if you don't have Henrik Lundqvist as your goalie, you could not play that system they played. They need to take the pressure off the goalie. But that's for us to discuss during the season. But you're right. Let's not mortgage the future to get you know, some sexy name in here, unless it's needed.
You know what? I'll tell you what. It's Henrik Lundqvist had a good season, but
better than
Gilardi,
good.
Well, no way. Hey,
they won the
Henrik Lundqvist. He won the Vezina, but you don't win a Vezina if you don't have guys in front of you. And I'll tell you what, you show me any a top four, and you got to include Del Zotto in this group. But you got Ryan McDonough, Dan Girardi, Mark Stahl, Michael Del Zotto, and if he comes back healthy, Michael Sauer. There's top five defensemen. You're going to toss in a Tim Erickson. You show me a blue line core that's going to be better than the Rangers in the next couple of years. And that's where you're taking your pressure off of Lundqvist, because you have the defenders who are making sure that Lundqvist isn't screened, who are going out and gobbling up his rebounds and grabbing his mistakes. A goalie's great, yes, but he's only as good as the guys in front of him defensively. And go back to Marty Brodeur. Marty Brodeur was super when he had Scott Stevens in front of him, okay? J.S. Giguere, as soon as he lost Chris Pronger, where did he wind up?
Okay.
See where I'm coming from?
I see your point. Let's go. We had a lot of questions that we didn't get to with Russ Cohen. We figured, since you're much better than Russ Cohen, we might as well go for you and get your opinion on some players that are already in the system, former draft picks. A lot of people were asking about Jesper Fast.
Oh, wow. Oh, man, you're going to love this kid. You're going to love this kid. I got two sources over in Sweden, and when they both independently, they don't know each other, and you're going to like Fast because he's got a great work ethic. He's got this really bam, first step, he's gone. He plays high energy. I think he actually looks to create contact in order to make play. And what I mean by that is if he creates contact, that means he's taking somebody else, he's taking a defender out of the play to free up a teammate. And that's you don't see many guys doing that anymore. He will bottle up somebody, say 10, 15 feet from the slot. He generates free space for his line mates. And he's a very important need for the Rangers. It's a shame we won't get him for another couple of years.
Okay, good. What about Christian Thomas? We all know he had a great season again last year. Where
he
do you see him?
He played on a really suspect team last year, and he had a goal. He had a, you know, he's not having a good defense, what it does to the entire team. They played with a 17-year-old goalie and a bunch of 17-year-old defenders. Thomas had to come back more, and because he came back more, his offense wasn't. I think leave Thomas alone. He's a threat to score from anywhere. And, I mean, I've seen him score goals from behind the goal line, off the angle, where he hits the goalie's helmet, it just rolls off his back. At the same time, I've seen Thomas from the point fire a shot. It goes in. He's going to excite a lot of people because of this offensive IQ. The question is going to be, will John Tortorella trust him enough to let him play at the point? If he does, the Rangers have a power play quarterback on the roster.
Okay. Hey, I was impressed by Christian Thomas, what I saw in Traverse City and a little bit in camp that I got to see of him. Actually, he impressed me more than Haglund did in that tournament and camp. And Haglund wound up getting a nod and been super impressive in this season. So he may be the answer for the Rangers on the point, like you said. But another guy people are talking about is Dylan McIlrath.
The truck
seems to be Russ Cohen's kind of downplaying him, saying that he, you know, he's still upset about the Cam Fallow overlook. I told Russ to get over it. I liked what I saw of Dylan in Rangers camp, Traverse City. I thought he was a little shaky, but once they took the C off of him and he was settled down, he was paired with Erickson, he looked like that player that you described to me as that when we talked when he was drafted as a guy that you're going to be afraid to go in his corner. You're going to be afraid. And the Rangers saw he knew. Do you see him? I mean, he's going to be his first pro year this year, wherever the Rangers farm system is going to be. Do you see him maybe making a team later or maybe just spending the whole year with the AHL affiliate?
I think you'll see him get a couple of cups of coffee just to give him an idea of what he's going to get into. You know what? Of all the guys who do what I do, Russ Cohen, I love him to death. He's a great guy. I respect the world of him. But see, I live out west. I see Dylan McIlrath all the time. And I'll tell you what, Dylan McIlrath is a game changer. He's got to be the biggest 6'5" guy I've ever seen. I know, Eddie, you and Jim too. Do you remember Phil Jackson, the player,
yes,
with the Knicks? Do you remember the biggest thing about him was his arms, the wingspan, and how wide they were?
They used to bring him in for the full court press at the end of the game. I remember that.
Exactly.
Just his arms.
Okay. McElrath's wingspan, both arms extended, is 84 inches, 7 feet. You have a guy here who he doesn't even have to move. He struggled in the first half adapting to, you know, the changes in, you know, hits to the head. But when you're 6'5 in the Western Hockey League, just about half the league is going to be, you know, up to your elbows in size. They're all 5'7", 5'8". So the kid who's getting, you know, he had a rough go. But I also watched him in the second half when it was kind of like, okay, this is how I have to change my game. And as you watched it evolve, McElrath, trust me, 2 fights, nobody's going to want to fight him. Guaranteed nobody's going to want to fight him. He's been trained by Cam Barker's dad, who's a former boxer, former police officer. You don't want to mess with him. You won't see people wanting to go down his side. He's really good. He's really good defensively with his vision. He reads plays well. If he's going to have to work on areas, I want to see the lateral, better improvement on the lateral footwork. I want to see a little more oomph in his stride. He's like, I know I can, but he's got to get that I know I can up a little faster. You know what I mean?
Right. I also noticed that in Traverse City in camp, he likes to join the play, too, which was good to see.
Yeah, he's trusting himself offensively, and, you know, he suffered a concussion last year, which hurt him a little bit, but by the end of the second, you know, I think that by a year in Hartford, working with Daniel, the coach, and coming up to the Rangers, we'll have Schoenfeld around. This kid's going to kill somebody with his shot. It's like a lead cannonball. I watched him knock people down with the shot, and they had to stop play because the guy couldn't get up to move to get off the ice. But I'd like to see the Rangers hire either Jeff Bookaboom or, you know, even Leach. Why are they not being hired as Ranger coaches on defense? They need somebody like that to teach McElrath, Erickson, Delzato. They need those type of guys to teach them how to play NHL defense. But
isn't Bookaboom's coaching what, Sudbury? Rangers have done well with defensemen. Let's face it, they've got a lot of overachievers. Whatever they're doing, you know, they pulled Anton Stralman, you know, out of they made Steve Eminger a viable defenseman. You know, they've gotten a lot of mileage out of the defensemen. But you're right. I would love to see Jeff Bookaboom tutoring Dylan McElrath for sure. I mean, I think that's good. How about quick opinions on these guys? JT Miller, how is he progressing? Is he on schedule? I like what I saw of him.
Miller, he ran out of gas the second half, but he's got probably one of the – I love his one-timer setup where you like a player who, with eye contact, will let his teammate know that he's about to make a move. Miller knows where he wants to go on the ice, and his favorite move is going, say, right around the right face-off circle. And he'll feed somebody to that spot when he decides to make that move, and the pass is on the way. Miller's ready to shoot it. His one-timer, his reaction on a one-timer is awesome. I see him as more of a protector for, say, a Kreider and Steffen. If you put him on the right side with those two guys, he'll be here not this year, maybe next year.
Okay. All right, and I guess the guy that I'm pushing for, this guy, I know he had concussion problems last year. You know, at the top of the show, we were talking, a caller asked, the Rangers, what do you want them to do on the third and fourth line? I want them to get faster. I want them to get better on the forecheck. And I think they have a guy down there, although he's smaller, in Ryan Bourque. Now, is Ryan Bourque a viable asset to this organization, or is he stalled at the AHL level?
The problem to me, and again, like I tell everybody, I'm not a John Tortorella fan, is John Tortorella doesn't seem to have any faith in guys that are not 6 foot or above. Bourque is a great forechecker, and I would put him up on the third line in a heartbeat. I'd love to see Hagelin, Bourque, and Dubinsky wind up as a checking unit, because the three of them are a pretty good three guys that could play as checking roles. I think Dubinsky's reached his limit offensively, but the three of them would generate 10, 15 goals apiece. That's pretty good for a checking line. And I don't think anybody's, you know, everybody talks about Kreider speed. Bourque is up there with him. He's not super fast, but he's fast enough.
Yes. I mean, even Kreider has mentioned how tenacious Bourque is, and I would like to see that kind of player, but you're right. He's not a Tortorella fit, and nobody's making John do anything he doesn't want to do.
Yeah, and see, that's why you're going to see this gap again, because you got to get these bigger kids. I mean, Michael St. Croix. Michael St. Croix is an example of what happens when you with the prospect camp. He had a horrible Traverse City. Everybody was down on him after Traverse City, but when I watched him come back to Edmonton, his coach Derek Laxall stuck with him, wouldn't quit on him for nothing. He had five straight games. He looked terrible. And Blackstall kept putting him out there. And all of a sudden, when it started, I call St. Croix the Predator. And I call him the Predator because he's the type of player who, when he senses the other team is on the ropes, he puts the foot further to the gas pedal. And if his team is up by two goals, he looks to make it three, up three, make four. They had a promotion up there where you got free French fries if you scored eight goals. His goal every night was to make sure the fans left with French fries.
Oh,
that's
I like that.
You like
I like anybody
yeah,
that's
like
getting
that.
Me French fries.
you got Stephen Fogarty. Stephen Fogarty, people are going to think I'm crazy, but I thought he was the prospect of the year last year. He Fogarty, unbelievable. You look at a kid. He's first of all, he's going to Notre Dame. You don't just get to go to Notre Dame. You have to earn the right to go to Notre Dame. You have to have the brains to play for Notre Dame. He does. When the first time I talked to him, I'm like, "What are you reading?" And he's reading a story about a Navy SEAL who is up on an Afghanistan mountain, and everybody else around him has gotten killed except him. And I'm like, "You're how old and you're reading that stuff?" He's the son of a career military man, but he has something like 95 points for the entire season last year, 10 game-winning goals in the regular season, 4 game-winners in the playoffs. He's a BCHL champion, a Doyle Cup champion, and the National Junior A champion of Canada. That's the first time any Ranger prospect's ever done that. He's 6'3", 215 center. He was out there in the last second of every game when they needed to stop. Watch for him. 2 years Notre Dame, he's going to be something special.
Oh, I'm excited now. I like that.
Let's see, who else do we have? Shane McCogan had a rough season. His Kelowna Rockets were just blasted with injuries, and he got traded to Saskatoon. He's going to play for the Memorial Cup, and I think he's in a better place this year by going to another team. I'll watch for him at Traverse City. He really knows he has to play well. And let's see, who else did they take? Randy McNaught, skip Randy McNaught. And
we're never going to hear from him?
Probably giving back the keys to his locker.
Okay.
And I guess
I hate to say that about him. You know, I hate to say that about somebody because being drafted is what they dream about doing. But in McNaught's case, he had way too much to overcome. I mean, you break an ankle twice in an eight week period. Foot speed you can't magically make reappear once it. He had screws put into his ankle, he broke the ankle. He had screws put in again. He was finished for a year. A player who loses a year is basically for every 1 year you lose, you're actually 2 years behind. And that's what that's what happened to him.
I break a fingernail twice in 1 month and I'm shot. Imagine that.
I just want to say, before we let you go, Jess, because we're starting to run out of it, we're running short on time, but there's one more guy that I wanted to ask you about, and now Mario just mentioned it in the chat room. What about Scott Stager?
You know, Scott Stager made a mistake. When he came, the Rangers took him to Europe because it was basically the smart thing to do. You know, why take somebody that's, you know, you might need it in the AHL? But when they sent him back, they told him, we expect you next year to be competing for a job at the NHL level. Oh, don't tell an 18, 19-year-old kid that. Tell him we want you to work on something. And so Stacer went back. Now, he missed most of the previous year with a hip injury. So when he went back to Owen Sound, he wanted to stay there. He had a no-trade clause, and yes, they give him in the juniors. And he needed to go to another team and play. He didn't. I think Stacer is another example of what happens if you miss a year. He's now 2 years behind. If you're going to do a depth chart, here's my Ranger depth chart goalie. You got Lundqvist, and I think Brion will resign. Cam Talbot is third. Jason Mizrain is fourth. And Stacer's now bringing up the rear. He's going to wind up in the ECHL. But I'll tell you what, keep an eye on Mizrain. He had a great year last year. He was first Ranger prospect in the ECHL to win Goalie of the Week twice in the same season.
He's the big dude, right? He's a tall guy.
6'8".
Yeah, yeah.
He's Benoit Allaire's pet project. And I'm not going to argue with Allaire. He seems to know what he's doing.
One other guy getting from the chat room from the great Gina wants to know about Oscar Lindbergh, the Lindbergh.
The moment he steps on the ice, he's going to be probably the best face-off man the Rangers have.
Mario Borgato could be the best. another Ranger, but go ahead.
Think of Craig McTavish, face-off-wise. He likes to play a really physical game. His offense could use a little tweaking, but he does have one. He's strong fundamentally. He's smart on the ice. He reads the ice really well. Ethan Werk for Oscar Lindbergh, great trade.
You were high on Ethan Werk, though, Jess.
Yeah, and you know.
Now Ethan is, Ethan is, he's in the abyss right now.
No, you know what? he's actually in a really good situation. He's getting a chance. If he would have stayed with the Rangers, he probably would have gone back to the juniors last year. Instead, he got to go to the AHL with the Coyotes, and he probably would have been buried in the Ranger depth chart. So. Werk's a good kid. He's a smart kid, and he wants to be an NHL player. The trade was a good move on his part because he wasn't going to fit the Ranger prototype.
He will always be one of my favorite guests, Jess. We had a lot of fun with Ethan when he came on the show.
He's hilarious.
He was a funny, funny kid. Well, I'm sure he still is wherever he is. Well, Jess, go ahead.
We got one more question.
Go for it.
Okay. Mr. French, who I've met in person, wants to know, what about Marek Rivik?
That's a guy, you know the saying, opportunity knocks, kick the damn door in? That's him. Mm-hmm. Apparently, finally, after a couple of years, the light went on upstairs, and it took advantage of it. And that's the kind of guy you know. He was a late bloomer. He's got great speed, but I'll tell you what, I'm gonna call him Hartford. The Whalers, whatever you want to call them, they don't make it to the second round of playoffs without this kid. And good speed, great hands, needs a little bulk up, but it's one of those, wow, look what I found under the Christmas tree.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm excited. After hearing Jess's things, I mean, usually Jess is a lot of sunshine and roses, but he was critical of some guys this time. And I like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. I like it. I like you're a straight shooter, Jess, and I personally love when you're on the show.
Yeah,
you guys know, this is to your chat room too, and I'm always open to answer questions. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, at my blog. The one thing that I have to do for the late E.J. McGuire, who was one of the people who taught me how to scout, and that is E.J. never said no to anybody asking a question about hockey. And when I asked him what I had to do to pay back what he did for me, the answer was simple. You ask the question, I owe you an answer. Whether I like the answer or not, I still got to give you the answer. So rest in peace, TJ. He was a hilarious guy. And Gordy Clark, great guy, another teacher. Anybody that says, I made a whole bunch of boo-boos in my career, you got to love.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, Jess, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. And maybe if you're around, maybe we could talk again after Traverse City.
You know what? All you got to do, Jim, is just say, want to be on? I'll be there with bells on. Would any of you guys know where I could buy a house in Vancouver, though?
I heard you're having some issues buying a house. I hope everything goes well for you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Hey, guys, take care of yourselves. Thank you guys in the chat room.
Thanks, Jess. They're giving you a standing ovation in the chat room, Jess.
Oh, hell, I'm in trouble now. You guys have a good one. I'm going to the barbecue. I got a steak I'm cooking.
Take care,
okay.
Jess.
Take
Enjoy.
Care.
Bye.
Damn, damn, damn.
Thank you, Paulie. The great Jess Rubenstein from the Prospect Park. You can follow him on Twitter at the Prospect Park. He's on Facebook. He's everywhere. I don't know his website. I think it's theprospectpark.com. Now, we'll get to your phone calls in just a second. We know a bunch of you have been holding on. I extended the show so that we wouldn't go into podcast just in case we ran long with Jess. And we'll get to your phone calls in just a second. And when we're done, we're done. In case you haven't heard us talking about it, because we have talked about it. We mentioned it on Facebook. Mario did. How great was that picture Mario did, Eddie?
Oh, it was great.
That was awesome.
Awesome.
It was great, great job. We should get that put on a T-shirt. Yes, Eddie and I are – Eddie's flying out to Las Vegas on Thursday.
Thursday.
I'll be joining him on Friday. And I wish I could get the level right. There we go. Joining him on Friday, so we're going to have a little fun. And then Friday, we got Sunday, is the first day of free agency. When are you coming home? You're coming home on Sunday?
I will be home on Monday.
You'll be home on Monday. All right.
Yeah. So we may have to do a show Monday. And if you want to do a show live Sunday night, go ahead. It's free and easy, baby.
I'll tell you what. If the Rangers do something big on Sunday, then I'll schedule a show for Sunday night. If you can call in from Vegas, great. And if you can't, it'll just be a real short show. And if not, then we'll wait till, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday after you're back and settled in. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
All right. We'll be partying at the Hard Rock. I'm looking forward to seeing you and have a good time. Let's see. All right. Now, let's see. We have a couple of calls left on hold. Who didn't we talk to? I don't think we talked to 631-678. You're on the air.
Hello, boys. How are you? It's Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
So Ed's going to Las Vegas. Ed, you're going to lay down in bed for who's going to win the Stanley Cup next year in one of the sports books?
Yeah.
I'm going to be laying down several sports bets. That is
Ooh.
One.
What do you? Are the odds out yet?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, the Reggie should be pretty, you know, like 4-1 maybe. I don't think they're going to be as a long shot as they've had in the past. I mean, they made the Final Four, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think they'll probably go, I don't know, maybe I'll give them 5-2.
Okay, 5-2. I'd still lay down that money. Yeah, I will be laying down money on our New York Rangers.
Okay.
Even without Marian Gaborik for a while. It's going to be a tough hoe, don't you think? So, Margaret, what's on your mind? You always have a beef. Kind of like
I don't have a beef. I have some info. I always have a beef, but I have info, okay? The last time I spoke to you guys was before the Rangers were eliminated from the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned that I was going to a function at the NHL store for travel agents. And get to the NHL store, and who's at the NHL store but E.J. Raddick, Mike Bossy, and Ken Danico, and the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Bureau people, and a bunch of traveling people, you know, travel people. So
good looking
I'm
through.
There and I'm, what?
Nothing. Go ahead. I said good I'm looking through.
I'm there and I'm jonesing for some Rangers, you know. And
right.
Anyway, I have to say that E.J. Raddick and Ken Danico were delightful to speak to.
Very nice.
And I'm making my point now. So I turned around to two of them, and I said in a very leading question, I said, "So guys," I said, "you think Parise will sign with the Rangers?" To which, and now again, this was on May 20, whatever the night before the elimination game six, whatever date that was. Danico says to me, "Absolutely, positively not. He has told everyone that he will never sign with the New York Rangers."
Okay.
And that
Ken
was,
Danico. Well, it might have been a little Ken Danico projecting. I just wanted to interrupt your story just for a second. Did you remind him of Manny Malhotra knocking him into next week when he was a devil?
No, I did not. But one
okay.
thing I'll say about Ken Danico, I've spoken to him a couple of times, and he's a real genuine guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a real genuine person, a real nice guy and everything. And anyway, so moving on from that little tidbit of information, which turned out to be absolutely true, and Parise went public with it 3 weeks or so later, there's a little knock on the door. The NHL store has been closed for this event. Little knock on the door, who the hell walks in but Ruslan Fedotenko? And I was like, God has saved me from this Islander and devil den. And Fedotenko walks in, and I shook his hand, and I wished him good luck, and he went out the next day and scored the first goal of that game, and then the Rangers lost in overtime. So that's my story.
Well, how do you feel about Ruslan Fedotenko possibly not being re-signed?
I have a problem with that. I think, you know, if he's going to take $1 million, Jesus Christ, sign him. He's depth, you know. I mean, would I rather have Ruslan Fedotenko than Brandon Frost? You bet your ass I would. I mean, that's just how I feel. I
don't want either of them.
Well, I don't know. I think
I like both of them, but he's too old.
Fedotenko at $1.1 million versus Brandon Preston. And the other thing everybody's saying, well, Brandon Preston is asking for $2 million. Come on, it's a basic negotiating point. You ask for the moon and stars. They offer you crapola, and then you meet somewhere in between. You know, and it's all blustering and it's all posturing,
yeah,
and everything else like that. But I think the press made a mistake by making any comment in the press, because Sather doesn't like that shit. He hates that. He doesn't like to be shown up in the press. He doesn't like to have anybody. You're dealing with him. You're doing it sotto voce. You know, that's it.
You're right. You're so right on the second point. And the first point, I was in the combo, is coming at him too aggressively and overreaching. I always think the perfect example is Nick Antropov. You know, his agent came out with a number that Sather wasn't even going to, you know, address, and that was the end of Nick Antropov ever being a Ranger. So, and then going public, I think was a hack move by him. I mean, you know, kind of almost blaming the management, you know, for being cheap. We know one thing, the Ranger management is not cheap. Matter of fact, they'll overpay, and even they kind of rebuffed his initial offer. So you know that you got to know what you're worth in this league.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I wanted to bring up was, Jesus Christ, it's like a desert out there with the free agents. I mean, if you look at who's out there that's available, it's just sad. There's nobody from Parisi as far as what we need to address our immediate needs. The only way the Rangers are going to accomplish that is in some sort of a trade. And I heard today that Bobby Ryan is really pissed off with the Ducks. He's saying, look, you know, move me or do something with me or should I get off the pot, is what he's saying to the Ducks. So I got my fingers crossed there. I think you're absolutely right about Shea Weber. I think that the Columbus ownership is going to screw itself by being dickheads about this.
You said Shea Weber.
Yeah.
You mean Rick Nash with Columbus.
Wrong thing.
You said Shea Weber. Don't worry about it.
I meant Nick Nash. Yes, I did. You're right.
Right.
And I'm trying to get too many of these ideas out of my head.
Well, I've heard a lot of crazy names being thrown. Let me throw them at you and Jim. I'm going to turn the tables on, Margaret. Alexander Semin, one-year
Christ
deal. Semin, one-year, $5.5 million. If he'd do it, would you take him? 1 year.
$1 million? $5.5
million.
$5
million.
Yeah, I rolled the dice on him for a year.
Jim?
Yeah, for a year. But he won't take a year. He wants a big contract.
Yeah, well, screw him.
He wants big money.
Here's another one at you. I've been circulating that. Eric Lindros II, Peter Mueller? Yeah.
No.
The guy.
No.
Why? He's not injury prone. Him and Michael Sauer could have conversations.
Oh, I don't see that. I want Michael Sauer back.
I feel bad for Sauer. I loved him.
Yeah.
Nobody's interested. Okay.
No.
Shea Weber. You sign him to an office seat, like per Joe Catrone.
No.
No, because I think the Rangers are fairly deep at defense, and I'd rather see the money or something else go towards somebody who can help us with scoring.
Okay, I've squashed all the rooms.
No, they're not offering. Teams don't like to do that. Those offer sheets.
No,
well, it's a kind of slap it in the face, right? I mean, you know.
It's
right.
A bad precedent. And then it can go after your people.
If you were going to do one, wouldn't you have done one with Steven Stamkos last year? Was it last year or the year before they could have offered him an offer sheet and nobody did?
Absolutely. It's like an unwritten rule.
Yeah. Unless you're Neil Smith going after Joe Sakic.
Speaking of Joe Sakic.
Yes, I was just going to get to that.
Get to that, Margaret.
All right, here's the deal. And I just wrote about it on my Will Be Gone blog. Brendan Shanahan has tarnished his legacy. And nothing is more indicative of that than the slap in the face, the snub by the Hockey Hall of Fame Committee. How can you justify putting Adam Oates, Pavel Bure, And not for nothing, Joe Sakic, I think, is a good choice. But and Matt Sundin, how can you justify that? And in light of the fact that they took on the first ballot Luke Robitaille in a class that took Brian Leach, Steve Yzerman, and Brett Hull, and Luke Robitaille's numbers and Shanahan's numbers are almost identical, and Luke Robitaille hasn't, other than the cup he won with Detroit, he hasn't won shit. He's got a triple crown too. He won the gold medal. He has won Stanley Cup, and he has an Olympic gold medal. Okay, but all other things not being equal, how can you put Luke Robitaille in the Hall of Fame on a first ballot and snub Brendan Shanahan? I think it's because they don't like him anymore because he's Mr. NHL cop.
Could be. Correct me if I'm wrong. Luke Robitaille is the all-time scoring left wing of all time. Is that correct?
But Eddie, by 8 goals.
We can't base him on his Ranger production because he sucked as a Ranger.
No, I know that. Luke Robitaille's numbers are almost identical to Shanahan in terms of goals, but not in terms of points and not in terms of playoffs. So I can't understand how they could take Luke Robitaille first ballot and not Shanahan. Makes absolutely no sense. And you know, I mean, Matt Sundin, okay, they're all saying, and the NHL wants you to drink their freaking Kool-Aid on their dopey-ass channel. They're all saying, oh, it depends upon, it's not the NHL Hall of Fame, it's the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's what he did in his career. Sundin was the captain of the Olympic team. Bullshit. Sweden won the Olympics because of Henrik Lundqvist, man.
Matt Sundin was a force. I saw the guy play. I don't know. I have no problem with everybody getting in. Shanahan, I don't know. I have to look at the numbers. You know, you're making a good argument for him. All right, Mark,
I put all the numbers on my blog. Go look at it. You'll look.
What's
you'll
the name of the blog
there.
Again?
My
What's
blue
the name
shirt
of your blog
heaven.
Again?
My blue shirt
my
heaven.
Shirt heaven.
My blue shirt heaven. Like
okay. All
anyway,
right. Well, take care.
That was my rant, honey.
All right. Take care, Florida.
Take care, Margaret.
Florida.
All right. 845-781. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
It's DB Maven.
DB Maven.
Wow.
Where were you before?
I had the same problems you guys had. The freaking audio cut out. I could hear you fine, and you couldn't hear me.
Oh, all right. Well, it's good to have you back.
It's good to
be
here.
The voice of reason.
The voice of reason.
There are others that are taking that moniker away from me. Quite deservedly, I think.
Oh, no. I don't think so. I think you've always been reasonable. Except when it came to the case of Garnet Axelby.
I appreciate that. Thank you. How are things, boys?
Everything's kosher over here. We're going to be Vegasing it this weekend. It should be pretty fun, I think. I think me and Jim will have some quality time alone, usually with all the other fans at the viewing parties, and we can rekindle our hockey romance.
Our bromance.
You're plotting out wonderful new clips for next year.
Already,
no, you know, I think for the short time we're together, we might not actually talk about hockey. We've got enough to talk about.
The one thing
we're going to be sitting poolside at the Hard Rock. There's going to be 20-year-old bikinis everywhere. I don't think. You think Dubinsky's going to be traded, Eddie, or what? What do you think?
Yeah, something tells me that's not going to be at the top of your list.
Right. What about Drew Doughty? Should they go out and get him if they can get him in a trade, or maybe move Hagel into the third line? What do you think? No, ain't going to happen.
Good. Have a great time. That should be enjoyable. The one thing that I was impressed with looking at some of the audio, the video clips and stuff that were around is how much JT Miller has filled out. I was talking about it in the chat room earlier. I mean, he's just gotten huge. Very impressive to see how much muscle he's put on. He looks like a real big kid. I wish Jess had gotten to talk to him about him a little bit. The kid is really filled out. He looks like a man now. Last year he didn't.
I wish we had the Marlon Brando act like a man. I wish we had that clip. I don't think we did.
Well, where did you see him, DB? That you saw that was it in the? Where did you see that he's kind of filled out? Did you track his progress last year?
It's on Blue Shirts United, but I mean, if you saw pictures of him,
come on, that's a proper. What do you think? You might as well get it from Al Jazeera Network. That's a proper hand over there.
if you saw pictures of him anywhere last year, he's really put on some weight. He's been working out. You can tell that that the workouts they assigned to him and what he's been doing is really taking effect, because he's just really big, big, big kid. He's really filled out immensely. McElrath too. McElrath looks a lot bigger upper body wise than he did. So, and he was already a truck. So it's good to hear Jess. Always has great insights. Fascinating stuff listening. And when you get the insiders, kind of guys who watch these prospects on a regular basis, you get a different perspective than the bits and pieces you get from everywhere else.
Yeah, even watching the guys like on TV, you know, when you go to a game, that's when you really see what they're doing away from the puck, and you really get the whole gist of what a player is all about. And,
yeah, absolutely. So what do you think they're going to do? You think that the ins and outs of Strowman, you think they're going to bring him back?
No, he's talking about going back to Sweden.
Yeah, he wants to leave. I don't know. It's got like a family situation going on.
Yeah, but there was a report today from, and it was a Swedish website that had to be translated, that his agent basically said that was all misinformation. It's not true. He wants to be with the Rangers.
Who wrote that? Karen Reuterberg?
You know, Karen's got a boyfriend now. She don't come around no more. I think she's got a guy, and I don't know. We haven't seen her ever since she started talking about this guy. She's very she hasn't been around much.
Facebook. What do you think about the Rangers draft? Are you pretty much where I am? I mean, I know the peripheries of these guys, but it looks like there's a lot of, like I said, projects. There's no guy and it may be one of those years where the Rangers are not going to get anybody out of them, the draft. But it's always a crapshoot anyway.
It's a crapshoot, but, the reality is that if you truly believe in Gordy Clark and what he's been able to do. I put this on Facebook a couple of days ago. There was a guy making a comment that somebody asked one of the scouts or one of the GMs, you know, who's the best, you know, who are you impressed with in terms of drafting or what have you? And his response was, the guy that most impressed me over time has been Gordy Clark. He pulled what he did with the Islanders that got screwed up by Mike Milbury, and what he's done with the Rangers, he's the guy that I think is the most impressive over time. So you've got somebody in hockey saying that about Gord Clark. You see what's happened with people like Hagelin, like Kreider, some of these guys that are starting to come up, and you really start to think that, you know, there's hope there. You know, you believe in the guy because he's got a track record. So I think Brady Shea, and they're calling him McDonough-Light or very McDonough-like. I'm okay with that. I think that's pretty damn good, because McDonough has impressed the hell out of everybody in the league this year. Boo may or may not make it, but he's got a lot of speed. You cracked me up when you did that the first time on the show earlier. You know, he can end up making it, and, you know, beyond the first and second round, you know, it certainly is a crapshoot. A lot of good second rounders end up being Hall of Famers. The first round draft picks aren't always necessarily the best players 10 years later. So, you know, I'm okay with the draft. A lot of people were shocked they didn't go offense, but they take the best player available. And the interesting thing is, if you look at the AHL roster, they're thin on defense now. If Erickson comes up and makes the team out of camp, they are really, because Valentenko went back to the KHL. You know, a lot of these other guys are kind of aging out. They're not going to be retained. They're not being offered contracts, et cetera. So there's kind of a dearth of real good prospects there. So, you know, I think it made sense for them to do some restocking there.
I think that, you know, to the people that we talked about who are supposedly in the know, the two things the Rangers lacked were goalies and coming up in the future, and defensemen could move the puck, or any defenseman for that point. I mean, they, like you said, if Erickson is part of the team, they have organizational-wide below the pro level, NHL level, don't have much. So they address needs, I thought. And, you know, just because the big club needs an offensive, you're talking 4 or 5 years down the line. The Rangers need to address that now in a free agent capacity or a trade capacity. They can't do it through the draft, especially when they're picking so low. You know,
That's the thing. And you go back and look, and everybody wants to compare and say, and build a team the way Detroit's done it. And Detroit has done it with solid organizational picks over a long period of time. They let the kids play in the minors, in, you know, the Canadian juniors, in the AHL for a couple of years, and they bring them up when they're ready into a third-line role and then move them up. You're not, unless you're picking in the top three or five picks, which means you had a really crap season, you're not going to get an immediate impact NHL player. It's just not going to happen. And even then, it's a crapshoot. So, you know, anybody looking for offensive help now or even 2 years from now in the draft, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I think that Saver, and if you've watched some of the interviews with Gorton and these guys, that they're not going to do the blockbuster signing, I don't think, out of the free agent pool. They probably know they're not going to get Parisi. I don't know if they're going to try and go after a suitor or not. And Tortorella kind of said it, they're looking for balance. You know, it certainly throws a wrench into things with Gaborik, you know, having surgery and being out for some period of time, whether it's the first month or even 2 months or 5 months of the season. You don't know what's going to happen there, but they need balance. They need speed. They need 10, 15, 20, 25 goals out of some guys on the second and third line. You know, we're hoping that maybe Anisimov is going to kick in better, and Dubinsky and Boyle and some of these guys. We'll see what happens, but they did not have the depth to go to the final, unfortunately. They were close, but they're still one score, and you can say it's maybe 30 goals short of getting to that next level.
Right. All right, DB. We're almost done here.
Good to talk to you, and have a good time in Vegas. Leave me on hold.
Same here. All right. Thanks, DB. All right. You want to talk to Frankie's still on hold, so. Oh, my partner sent me a funny message. He is. He'll be back in just a second. Frankie, you still there?
Everybody keeps on mispronouncing Boo's name. He's Latino. It's Cristobal Nieves.
Well, see, hold on. I said Nieves at the top of the show.
Oh, I missed the top of the show then.
That's okay, but I got corrected, And then I had a different way of pronouncing it. Eddie had a different way of pronouncing it.
Well, Cristobal is a Spanish first name.
Right. Well, yeah, I get that.
And then Nieves is a Spanish name, you know. I mean, it's a very common Spanish name. And Nieves had a terrible high school year. He only scored 8 goals. He had less goals than he did as a junior. And if you read the scouting reports on him, during the combine, they actually laughed at him when they put him in the weight room. He couldn't lift the weights. So scouts were laughing at him because he couldn't lift weights. He's a skinny kid, and the scouting report says he is timid. You know, how else? I mean, that is such a damning evaluation of a player, saying he plays timid. What do you think?
Well,
I'm sorry.
I agree that that's not what you want to hear, but, you know, without knowing much about the guy, I put my trust in Gordy Clark.
Yeah, and they also, scouting reports on their first-round draft choice, they said for a guy that's 6'3", 200, he plays timid as well. I actually don't think Nieves will well in his first year in college. I think he's going to struggle. He may not even make the team. He does not.
Hagelin.
Hagelin's different. You know, Hagelin's a different player. But,
hello?
There's a free agent that's available, Jiří Hudla from Detroit. I think he averages like 16, 17 goals a season.
Right.
He's only 28 years old, and he's never injured. So I think that he's a possible guy to look at only 28.
Eddie, weren't you talking about Jiří Hudler last week?
Yes, I like Jiří Hudler. I think he'd be a good pickup.
The only problem is that he's 5'9", 180, and that's automatically shows up on the radar with Tortorella, 5'9", 180, you know. But he never gets hurt. So I think that might be a reasonable guy to sign that's only 28. He's not 35 like Doan, although Doan's a good guy too.
Right.
But
I
anyway,
like Doan. But I don't think Doan's
like
even Phoenix.
I like Jiří Hudler as well.
Yeah.
But we'll find out Sunday. And this other guy, Schultz, he's like a skinny version of Gilroy.
Yeah, that's the last thing we need.
He's like 180 pounds. I mean, he is not going to be a top four defenseman for the Rangers. No way. You know?
Yeah.
He might be a Lady Bing candidate. I think he'll end up in the AHL next year.
We'll see. All right, listen, Frankie, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you for holding.
Yeah,
thank you for calling. It's good
to
talk to you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Take care.
All right.
No.
This will conclude another terrific, wonderful, spectacular, splendorific episode of Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Frank, great job. Jess Rubenstein, great job. We'd like to thank everybody who called in. A massive amount of calls tonight. I think we had somewhere around 300 calls tonight. 400 people in the chat room. I just got the numbers. 3,000 people listening live.
Wow.
We appreciate it. Eddie, your grace, I will see you Friday out here in the desert climate of Las Vegas. I am looking forward to it, my friend. What
I'm drunk already.
We will see you guys.
Facebook.
Yes, Facebook.
I can't wait to see you.
Same here.
I can't wait
to follow us on Twitter. You can download us off iTunes. That's it. If there's a big signing, we'll see you Sunday night. If not, we'll see you Monday or Tuesday. Keep an eye on the Facebook group. That'll let you know when we'll be on.
I'm going to play them out with the Boo song.
The Boo song?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
The whole bit. That bit. I got to find this thing to freaking cure it up. Oh, see, Dubinsky had a kid. Big deal.
Dubinsky. The baby.
Frankie.
Frankie.